This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. You did not get traded at the deadline. Jensen, were you ever traded at any Major League Baseball deadline?
I was not. Thank goodness. I've been up and down a handful of times in the minor leagues in a single season, but never had to deal with it as far as packing the bags and going to a new organization during a single season. So again, not for the weary, my friend. A lot of tears shed. You share the field of battle with each other day in and day out. So always an emotional day, no question about it.
Going to have Levi Weaver join the program here before we say goodbye in this edition of VSiN by the Books, get his thoughts on what we saw in a very chaotic trade deadline yesterday. Going to get to our best bets, chaos candidates. But right now, it's time to talk some college football in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
The College Football Betting Guide is out for your perusal right now if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. Again, if you're listening for the first time, by the way, thank you for listening and watching. You can become a VSiN Pro subscriber right now for as little as $9.99, that intro offer. You'll get access to everything we have out right now. And Jensen, this is the bell of the ball right now at the network, which is this very comprehensive college football betting guide. You are kind of like Godsmack. You stand alone when it comes to your national champion this year, and it comes from this conference, Jensen Lewis. Who do you like to emerge from what could be arguably, SEC fans, the best conference in college football?
Well, right now it has been for the last 3 years, and the road to the national title goes through the Big Ten. We will see if Indiana can find their way back, but for me right now, I am happy to stand on this island myself. I did pick the Ohio State Buckeyes to defeat the Texas Longhorns for the national title in our VSiN college football betting guide. The Big Ten, not surprisingly, going to be pretty top heavy, and no surprise, I think, in looking at what Ohio State will run out there this year, at least on paper, as the shortest shot to win it. Oregon, a very popular choice. In fact, the most popular choice in our college football betting guide to win the national title. Indiana, I'd asked you earlier this week, I'll ask you again, if they are going to be that team that might be overlooked or maybe underranked as a defending national champion. Outside of the big three there, it is going to be fighting for fourth the way that we have the odds board. USC 13-1, Michigan 15-1. A lot of people like Penn State at 20-1 because of the schedule. Matt Campbell in his first year bringing over a lot of transfers from Iowa State. Can they kind of run the gamut there? And it's not a real tough one on paper. But as it stands here, here's where I went with Ohio State. Okay, you have the best player in college football in Jeremiah Smith. You may have a top five quarterback in Julian Sain by the time it's all said and done. And Bo Jackson, for people who haven't watched him run the rock, get ready to watch the man really dice up some front lines there on the defensive side. The big one is obviously in Austin in week two, September 12th at Texas. That is going to be a showdown, to say the least. And the winner of that game probably has the inside track to a top four seed in the college football playoff. Because outside of that, I know a tough test for the Buckeyes at Iowa. Iowa City has given them some fits in the past, especially when they've been a very high-ranked team. But you get Ball State in the opener. They'll take care of business there. Then Texas, then back home against Kent State before they welcome in Illinois to start the Big Ten portion of the schedule. And then it's down to Indiana, middle of October in Bloomington. If they get past that, then I don't think they really will have an issue. Oregon coming in is going to be fun to watch. Obviously, November in that first week will have all kinds of implications. But that's really where I look at this team. Not only are they flying under the radar, maybe because of people looking at Oregon, looking at defending champion Indiana, and they deserve credit, but I think Ryan Day loves and relishes this spot. Don't talk about us. Don't worry. You know, we've just been one of the perennial powers in this conference and in the country for the last decade. I like where they set up. Barring injury, this will be one of the best offenses in college football.
You know, it's kind of bizarre. And we had the conversation, I know, on this network here for the last couple of years as well, where, okay, Ryan Day, he's going to get fired a couple of years ago. And then he goes and wins the national championship, right, in the expanded playoff, when people, some people thought they shouldn't even be in. They go do that, and that wasn't good enough there for people in Columbus because he had to beat Michigan. Then he does that, and I do feel like Jensen, for kind of to your point, it almost feels like he can exhale a little bit now and stop worrying, if he ever did, but at least the people talking about Ryan Day and whether or not this is the right guy to lead this program. But now he's checked off. Maybe the bigger check of winning a national championship was beating Michigan. As crazy as that might sound, it actually might have been at least on par with winning that national championship. Because of that and because of what they do there in Columbus, I am surprised that you are standing alone here as the only person here at the network to pick Ohio State to win the national championship. And I like your standing in that. For Indiana to go back-to-back, I mean, that would be incredible if they could pull that off. But again, I've mentioned I'm out of the doubting Kurt Cignetti business here, so I'm out of that. I don't want to say they can't do it because it's just because it's so hard to do. He seems like the maniacal type in a positive sense to say to his kids, if they're going to think last year was a fluke, let's go prove that it wasn't. Let's prove that we are on par with the Ohio States every year, with the Alabamas of the SECs, you know, of the teams that perennially you think of each and every year. Are you ready to get there with Indiana because of who the head coach is? And maybe not to win, because I know you picked Ohio State, but to say because of who's leading the program, kind of like Ryan Day at Ohio State, I don't really doubt that anymore, that I know Kurt Cignetti will have this team in position to potentially, A, make the college football playoff again, it's her favorite to do, or B, win a Big Ten title again.
Well, you got to fill the shoes of Fernando Mendoza first, and Josh Hoover coming over from TCU. That's a tall order, and I don't care who you are. You can be as talented as it gets, but, you know, A, he's going to have to be able to fill those shoes. B, going to have to definitely take care of the football. Wes Reynolds, a great job doing some write-ups here on the Big Ten. 33 turnovers in 36 career games for Josh Hoover. I can tell you that right now is not going to win in the Big Ten week in and week out. So you better take care of the football. You look at some of the other transfers here for Indiana coming in, very high on Nick Marsh, the junior transfer coming in. Of course, we learned about the legend of Charlie Becker having massive catches in big moments during the college football playoff run. Looking at the running back room, Turbo Richards, a nice little addition there, junior transfer as well. And then what will the defense do for an encore? Remember, Dave, this is one of the best defenses in college football. The ranks for them last year, really, really impressive. You look at them in points per game, just 12.5. That was third in the nation. Yards per point, 22.3. That led the nation. Rush yards per game, they were outstanding. Under 80 yards, that was third in the nation. So can you get back to, I don't know if it's going to be that elite, but can you get back to prominence that way? Their third down conversion on offense last year, and again, this goes back to the quarterback, number one in the country at 55.5%. So you understand why Indiana would like to have that respect. But again, as Kurt Cignetti said, everything is earned in this conference. Let me ask you about Oregon, because that seems to be the flavor here at the network. Dan Lanning, we don't want to put him in the James Franklin territory because he has won some big games, but he hasn't won the biggest of games yet. They return a lot of starters. They return a high-flying offense. Dante Moore is going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate to start the year, turning down the NFL draft and coming back for one more rodeo. Should we be giving Oregon as much credit and as much due, knowing what their schedule looks like? Again, if you want to run it down here, at USC, the first real big challenge for them in week four, then they're pretty much home free until at Ohio State that first week of November. Where are you on the Ducks and Dan Lanning entering this season?
Well, I think Indiana just scored again in the national semifinal. I mean, that was one of the worst beatdowns that you've seen in prime time in a big time game. And I like Dan Lanning, but you know, that they looked unprepared for the biggest test that they had last year. And again, Indiana national champions, we get it. So maybe they were better, but remember, Indiana went up there to Oregon, to Eugene, and punched them in the face early in the year, too. So it wasn't like Dan Lanning had not seen them. So that's, I think, what I was most surprised about, not in the manner that, not that the fact that they lost, but in the manner in which they lost on their biggest test after already losing to that team at home. I thought they'd be much better prepared. So I guess my question, with 13 people here at the network picking Oregon to win, as you have said, the best conference in football, man, that feels like a pretty big leap for me to get there with Dan Lanning this year, to say that all of a sudden we're just going to say they've learned from those mistakes. They were pretty glaring last year in two pretty big spots. So I don't know that I'm ready to go there with Oregon. I like the football team again. I like Dan Lanning. I like what he's been able to do up there in Eugene. They are a really, really good football team. But are they the best, inarguably the best conference in college football? I don't know that I'm ready to make them the favorites, and that's what the odds makers have done here. Ohio State right there, some books, they're shorter, and then Oregon nipping at their heels. But Jensen, I don't know that that's exactly where I'd want to go with my money with the Quack Attack. You kind of have to prove it to me that you're ready to win one of those big games. And they had a couple big tests last year, and they failed miserably, once on a neutral and once at home against the same team. So, like, if I'm Kurt Cignetti and I see Oregon somewhere to win a Big Ten title, man, let's go. Lace them up, and let's see who the better team is, because I feel like Cignetti feels like he's got the better of Dan Lanning. And I think Ryan Day would feel pretty confident about that if that matchup presented itself to win the Big Ten. So those are big tasks and big asks for me right now with Oregon. I don't know that I'd want to make them, at least in our network here, 13 overwhelming favorites to win this Big Ten title. Not ready to do that with my money. But Jensen, I think you make a good point. This league, top to bottom, SEC, you better look again, man. This they are loaded for bear each and every year. That is for sure. We love chaos in the sports betting world. We've got some chaos for you. Our chaos candidates are coming up straight ahead. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. Sign up for VSiN Pro today if you haven't done so already. Get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from our sharpest minds of the network. Plus, you're going to get our NFL Betting Guide as well, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for a small rate, just $9.99, or get the full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Going to have Levi Weaver join the program here in just a little bit, get his thoughts on the fallout from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Our best bets are straight ahead, but Jensen Lewis, we need it. We love it in the sports betting world. It is time for this week's edition of our Chaos Candidates. Love the extra symbol at the end. All right, Jensen, I have won the toss I will receive this week, and I will begin with my chaos candidate, a team north of the border. I'm ready to be hurt again, Toronto Blue Jays backers out there, because I look at this team before the trade deadline, underwhelming, under 500, 8 games under 500 before play started yesterday after you made your moves. Now, I looked at those moves, and I was like, okay, you trade away Varsho to the Astros. Is that a major loss? Good defensive player, not great offensively. And then I look at the Jose Soriano trade. And yes, you move Gausman to the Cubs. Gausman hadn't been pitching great, still very good, but not great. You upgraded there sneakily. You got a player with more control going forward with Soriano into the future. But what about the present for the Toronto Blue Jays? And I started to look at that rotation. Dylan Cease might win Cy Young. He's a second betting choice right there behind Cam Schwitler in the Yanks. And then you're going to go Dylan Cease. You're going to go Trey Savage. We all know what he did last year. And then you're going to go Soriano slated as the third spot. And then Shane Bieber pitched very well yesterday in a win against Houston. And they get Aaron Geddy here over from the Astros in the Varsho trade. And when he's healthy, he might be your fifth guy. All of a sudden, Jensen, the rest of the lineup is still, it's been underachieving so far this year. But the back of the bubblegum card says Vlad Guerrero Jr. can get hot. That, you know, maybe Springer Dinger can get some new life as well at the top of the lineup. I took a stab. 13-1 for this team to make the postseason. You betcha. I was looking at 8-9-1 out there in the marketplace. And then I found a Bet365 yesterday before play began. 13-1. And I said, you have double dog dared me to get emotionally and financially invested in the Jays. And I purchased that ticket, took a half unit play on the Jays to make the postseason at 13-1. And Jensen, I look at that starting four in the rotation. It might be a lot of low scoring games they're going to have to win, but I also looked at the Red Sox and I saw that the Sox were double digits underwater about a month and a half ago. And now they're 9 games over .500. So you can't get as hot maybe as the Red Sox have gotten, but if they can get back at least to .500 in a really bad top to bottom American League, that might be good enough to get there. And they started off on the good foot for me last night with a win in Houston, 7 games under .500, get to .500 Toronto and get that fan base believing again, I'm ready to be hurt. North of the border, they're ready to be hurt again. Let's make a run, Toronto, because you have the pitching in place and enough offense to be competitive in a watered-down American League.
Wow. The people at Sportsnet watching us north of the border are going to absolutely love just what you and I was on with Blair and Barker yesterday afternoon and kind of made the case that the rotation not only sets you up already for 2027, we got 2 months left. Anything can happen. That led me to my first chaos candidate, and that's the Houston Astros. I mean, I have not been able to figure them out all year. They're 29 runs in the negative in the run differential. They are 8-2 in their last 10. They took it on the chin last night. But this continues to be, and I can't remember which national writer, I think it was Ken Rosenthal. They are the cockroaches of Major League Baseball. They will not go away. They just find opportunities to stick around. And you look at this lineup, the way it's going, the top two with Jeremy Peña and Yordan Alvarez, as good as it gets anywhere in baseball. I had told you I was concerned with their rotation and, you know, Hunter Brown and basically Peter Lambert have been those team or those guys that have really held this rotation together. Ronel Blanco back, Christian Javier through last night. I really feel that the problems were going to be for them to get enough length. And if they didn't, it would overexpose their bullpen. Well, they've done that. They've actually improved to a top 10 scoring offense over the bulk of the year because they had kind of gone away for a little bit. Remember, at one point, they were the top scoring offense early in the season. They hit the ball out of the ballpark. I've got to tip my cap. I don't have you figured out, Houston, so I am squarely putting you as a chaos candidate. Who knows day in and day out what you're going to get? Right now, they are 2.5 games clear in the top spot in the American League West.
And the favorites to win that division at plus at R10. And again, they needed some help in the outfield. They did get it from Dalton Varsho from the aforementioned Toronto Blue Jays. And I couldn't contain my enthusiasm earlier when you were talking up the Blue Jays. I was like, oh, Jensen, just wait till we get to chaos, because that's certainly where I was going. Great minds think alike there. Look, my second choice here for chaos candidates, and this could be good or bad because I don't know what to make of North Carolina football, but it has not been pretty here since Bill Belichick took this thing over. And what I'm getting at here is to win the ACC this year. You know what Carolina's number is? 150-1. Now, I'm not willing to bet it, people. I'm not advising to go out there and back Carolina and back Bill Belichick at that price point. But this is going to be either really good chaos or it's going to be really bad chaos, and then you don't see it any longer. I don't know that we ever have had more fanfare for a pro coach who could arguably be considered the greatest football coach in the history of the NFL. Very debatable, but certainly up for debate. To go to college and infamously kind of try to make this out to be a pro team with the advent of NIL, and they thought we could be kind of cutting edge going forward and make this thing work. It has not worked so far. But if you're Bill Belichick and you have that moniker of being arguably the greatest to ever do it, this way you're going to go out? Is this the way it's going to end? At Chapel Hill at 150-1 to win the ACC? I mean, this is chaos. Never would have expected that this would be the fate of Carolina football. Not too late to turn it around, Jensen, and still say, hey, you guys all doubted me? I know he likes that, but the doubt is real right now. Until you give people a reason to say, all right, they're turning the corner and we can start to see the vision of why you went to Chapel Hill in the first place, you got a lot of bow and arrows coming at you right now, Bill. Let's see what you can do right now, because just knowing the man a little bit, not the way you would think he would go out kind of meekly like this. So I want to see what Carolina football looks like this year, because right now, if we're being honest, we're being objective, it is not looking very good.
I'll be honest. I thought that my San Diego Padres NL future was pretty much dead in the water by the All-Star break. And here we go again, AJ Preller. I'm on my way out, and you lure me back in to think that there's some faith. And the rotation reinforcements, plus holding on to Adrian Morihone and Mason Miller, I mean, that pitching wins championships, man, and you got to have it. And their rotation sorely needed that kind of infusion, and I'm happy to kind of see it, knowing that I've got a 20-1 future from earlier in the year. And could not have predicted this offense would be as bad as it is. But now the last 3 weeks, this is kind of what they envisioned from the beginning. So I get a little more excited on Michael King, Robbie Ray, Casey Mize being my big three to start. I get a little more excited watching Jackson Merrill swing the bat the way he's capable of. Ty France doesn't get traded. They keep the group together because he was a real hot commodity, especially at this deadline. AJ Preller says, no, sir. I like my group. Upcoming schedule, boy, they're going to be right in the fight, man. You've got three in the desert, three more in the desert against the Diamondbacks, then back home for a critical homestand against the Astros and the Brewers. Playoff baseball starts, maybe it did yesterday for San Diego, the way they're going, but they are certainly a chaos candidate if they find their way into October.
It's a team at the All-Star break that identified, and I'm glad that you're on board here with the Padres at this juncture. I also said then, and just remember, if they do get in, I know the Dodger fans will never admit this, the one team they probably would not want to see would be the Padres somewhere down the road in the postseason. Not saying they're scared of anybody, because when you're the reigning defendings two times over, you're never scared of anybody else. But I think the Padres would relish that opportunity to try to finish the job they did not get done a couple years ago. And maybe this dynasty never happens in LA. Food for thought there. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get to our best bets that we have today. I've got a cross-sport parlay, Jensen, that I think you might be a little bit intrigued by as well, in your honor. And also, viewer mail. We always get some really good inquiries. We'll read one of those for you next. And again, remember, Levi Weaver is joining the program as well before we're done to talk all things Major League Baseball post-trade deadline. Straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Book.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Preseason football starts on Thursday, so no better time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service, because after your required in-person registration, they're going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. So just one trip to Vegas. Who doesn't want to go to Vegas? Play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Levi Weaver is going to join the program in the next segment. Get his thoughts on everything in the trade deadline that has come and gone. We get questions here at VSiN by the Books and some great inquiries by the books at VSiN.com. Again, we just ask, include your name, your city, state, where you're writing to us from. I'm going to read some of those submissions here on the air. We got one yesterday from Brian Evans. And he says he listens to the show, Jensen, every day, loves the in-depth breakdowns. Monday, when you guys were talking about the Giants and Harbaugh, how great they are, you touched on Matt Nagy for about 3 seconds. He's in Illinois, and he didn't want us to forget that Nagy made the Bears look pathetic, and then Andy Reid brought him to Kansas City as a favor. That is true. and then abruptly fired him at the end of the first season, and making the Pat Mahomes-led Chiefs put up their worst offense since starting Mahomes. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Brian, thank you for the inquiry. Certainly, I know being in Chicago for as long as I was when Matt Nagy was there, Jensen, it didn't end well. Let's put it that way. They had the double doink. It's going to live in Bears infamy forever. So I get what Brian is picking up and putting down here. Where are you and Nagy, this version of him, with Harbaugh with the Giants? Do you look at that as a positive for the New York Football Giants?
Don't know. Again, it's a wait and see. And so, again, appreciate Brian and tuning us in. And no, we are fair and balanced here and still unafraid of calling people out and telling people what they are and who they may be. But this is a true wait and see. Again, you get all the weaponry in there. You hope that it's going to be a seamless transition. But yeah, the resume leaves a little bit to be desired. So let's see what happens. Good old Sunday Night Football. When we get Cowboys and Giants, that's going to be a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, it was coach of the year when he took over the Bears, and they get all the way there before that double doink. Mitchell Trubisky was a quarterback back then. And kind of the running joke after that disaster kind of unfolded in the seasons to come was Matt Nagy in the play sheet would just have two words, Jensen, and it said, be you, right? That was on the play sheet. And after a while, we're like, be somebody else. Like, just be, whatever it is, call different plays because this is not working in Chicago. So I understand what Brian's saying. Let's see what he does with the Giants. Going to be an interesting offense that he's going to have there with Jackson Dart, Cam Scatabo, and the like right there in New York. We've got some plays out there. Certainly, I know you've got some for VSiN Pro subscribers as well. I do have a cross-sport parlay, Jensen, in your honor, because this is something that I know you like to do. And I was looking at that now that the trade deadline has come and gone. It's going to be in correlation with a PGA Tour event this week. And then maybe my favorite play in college football this year. So I got this at close to 19-1. And it's going to be indicative on the Brew Crew. I don't know that they can beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they can't. But I think they might be able to hold them off for the number one seed. Now, that's going to be really tough to do. They've got a half game lead here. They might have to even hold off the Cubs, as Matt Youmans alluded to early in the program right here. But if the Brewers can get that coveted number one seed like they did a year ago, that gives them that proverbial leg up in the postseason if they have to see the Dodgers again. I think it means more to them than it does L.A. And yes, L.A. has got tons of reinforcements in, but they might be a little bit more casual about down the stretch they come, where I think the Brewers might be pushing in a little bit to get that one seed. So my three-leg cross-sport parlay to get me 19-1. It's the Brewers to get that one seed in the National League. Get that Hokokie high. Hey, over 6.5 win total in Blacksburg. Absolutely love this year for James Franklin and company. I think they're going to be sneaky in the ACC this year in year number one. Arguably had the best transfer portal of anybody in the country. They have legit talent. I think Brent Pry staying as the fired head coach, only to stay right there in Blacksburg now as the DC for James Franklin, is massive for that football team. Love the Hokies this year. I've also bet that singularly over 6.5 wins. And I'm going back to the kid. He came up just a little shy for me in a top 20, bogeyed 18, which is difficult to watch. But I think the kid is here to stay. I'm talking about Jackson Koivun out there, America. You know, we just won on the PGA Tour a couple weeks ago at the 3M. And I think for Jackson here at the Wyndham this week, he's looking at those points trying to get in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Another high finish for Jackson, might be able to get that done. Played a top 20. So it's the Brewers number one seed, Hokies over 6.5 wins, and Jackson, I hope, hopefully gets me that first check this week, top 20 finish this week, and then we ride into baseball season, hopefully get that home with the Brewers, and ride into college football with those Hokies. Almost 19-1, a classic Jensen Lewis cross-sport parlay.
All right, we'll know if it's live come Friday, and if Jackson Koivun can make the cut here at the Wyndham Championship. Otherwise, this will be short-lived. So always good, and again, a lot of fun because, hey, yeah, this really applies to where we are in baseball right now, and that's why I like to kind of look back after the trade deadline and see, you know, where I was at the beginning of the year. Dave was just bringing up my futures portfolio to see, you know, just looking at some of the dates and times of when I added clubs. Again, you know, you think about, you know, where Orioles, Rangers, 30-1 is what I had for World Series futures. And again, doesn't look like the Orioles one is viable, albeit here we go, Dave. Guess what? We look at the wild card standings and the Baltimore Orioles are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. The Texas Rangers, At 30-1 ahead of them, they lost six in a row. Jacob DeGrom wanted to stay home. I like that. Sounds like he used his no trade clause and vetoed a potential move to the Atlanta Braves. Think about what that front of the rotation would have been like with Chris Sale, Jacob DeGrom. That'd have been something. My. But then, you know, just kind of looking at again, at the two big World Series tickets. That's why I didn't add anything on the Yankees, 287-1. We're fine there. Phillies now with Spain winning the World Cup at 105-1. Again, those were made to be able to find those ROI potentials. And, you know, as long as Philly kind of picks up the slack offensively night in and night out, I think they'll comfortably be in the postseason. I'm a little more anxious to see what happens with Arizona. Do they have staying power? The Marlins, even though they did ship off some of their assets and a big one in Liam Hicks, you know, they're two games out and three games over 500. The Pirates, I have been so bullish on Pittsburgh, and that's a team we didn't really get to sink our teeth into. But if you haven't invested in futures in Pittsburgh, go ahead and do it. I have no qualms about adding them right now. They were a team that I did highlight in our VSiN MLB betting guide before the year that I thought they'd have a chance to make the postseason and would be one of those wild card teams. I think if you look now at a back three of Luke Weaver, Gregory Soto, Mason Montgomery to start, and they also did add Camilo Duvall and Kirby Yates at the deadline, Luke Bakar, ironically from the Marlins. Like, you now have a shutdown bullpen for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I don't have to remind people that you have the number two scoring offense in baseball. You have Paul Skeens. You have Braxton Ashcraft, who've been their two best starters. You have Jared Jones, who's been rolling. They're going to be a handful. And they have an actual favorable schedule here upcoming here the next three series. They're head-to-head against Milwaukee right now. You've got the Mets at home real quickly. Then you go back down to South Beach and take on the Marlins. And right now it looks like they're going to avoid Sandy Alcantara in the probables for that series. But make no mistake about it, baseball would be in a great spot if somehow, some way, the Pirates find their way in, and God help you if they get to a division series, because they're going to at least get a game at home. The blackout back at PNC Park for primetime October baseball, a sight for sore eyes. I think the Pirates, you can hitch your wagon to them, and I think they're going to be in great shape.
As I mentioned a little bit earlier in this very hour, same kind of principle for me north of the border with the Blue Jays. Would love to see that fan base. It was electric last year watching them go through the postseason. After the trade deadline has come and gone, I did get invested in Toronto 13-1 to make the postseason. And again, this is a price point play for me, people. That's, we talk about a lot on this network, not just on our show, that you have to shop around, because at Circa yesterday, they were about 9-1 to make the postseason. I thought, ooh, that feels like a playable number. But doing the due diligence and shopping around, I found this ticket at Bet365, Toronto at 13-1 to make the postseason. Jensen put a half unit play on that. And again, it's predicated on this starting rotation now, that when you add Jose Soriano and make him the third starter on this team, Dylan Cease might win the Cy Young. We know what Trey Savage is. And certainly Shane Bieber, a very promising start yesterday in that win against Houston. I really like this rotation going forward, not just next year, but this year as well. So took a nibble at 13-1 on Toronto to make it to the postseason this year. That was an added play yesterday. Anything very quickly in the on the docket today? Or are you waiting for lineups to come out here in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, we got a lot of guys that are, probably getting to their destinations today if they didn't last night. So again, always want to wait and see all night games tonight. So not worried about that whatsoever. A couple of good pitching matchups here we'll look to highlight, but yeah. Excuse me, getting all choked up about it. We're going to wait and see what some of the lineups are before we make some bets tonight.
Going to talk to Levi Weaver next right here and get his thoughts on what we saw with the trade deadline and maybe some of those spots that we think are actionable here going forward, because it was as crazy a trade deadline as I can recall. It's getting better and better every single year. I like to see certain teams make that push. Who does Levi think got much better a day ago? That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Week Jimmy Beeson by the books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, and we love talking Major League Baseball here in the program. And we'll do it as often as we can. And certainly the changing numbers now that the trade deadline has come and gone and that dust has settled. Levi Weaver, kind enough to join us here, MLB writer for The Athletic, to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Levi. You know, Jensen and I, some teams are like, yep, that makes a lot of sense. Other teams kind of scratching our heads this morning about some of the moves that were made or moves that were not made out there. I guess we should start at the top with the Dodgers getting Tarek Skubal well before that trade deadline of 6 p.m. yesterday. Are they the biggest winners in your eyes just because they got the flat out best player available?
I mean, I'm going to set this up with a caveat, which is that I know this is radio and I'm supposed to talk a little bit in each answer because the entirety of my answer is just, yep. Yeah. Yes. 100%. Like they got the best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the game, and they were already on paper the best team in the league. They absolutely won. They pushed forward the chips that they needed to push forward. And this is the outcropping of the fact that it's not just about money. Like the Dodgers do everything well. They scout well, they trade well. These are players that they picked up in other trades. And I guess I hear hope from the Cubs for Michael Busch. Like this is not somebody that they went out and spent $35 million on. This is just good front office maneuvering and scouting. And yeah, they're the best in the business and they absolutely won this deadline.
All right. So that means Levi, we got to, in UFC terms, we got to find that number one contender in the National League of who's got the ability to knock them off. I've told Dave, and I'm interested in your thoughts now that the dust has settled from the moves that Milwaukee and the Chicago Cubs have made. Would you put a hierarchy of Milwaukee, the Cubs, Philadelphia, and Atlanta? How would you rank those four contenders, and maybe even San Diego will throw in there? Anyone that jumps out of that group that you feel after the deadline and what they've done this year are best positioned? They may not do it, but best positioned to try and take out the Dodgers.
The Cubs, 100%. I mean, here was my confusion yesterday. And I understand small market teams don't have the same bandwidth to work with that some of the bigger market teams do. You can't, you know, if you take this risk and it doesn't work out, it's not like you can just go out in free agency and throw a few extra dollars at it to patch the hole. I understand that. But the Cubs needed pitching and they went out and got pitching. They got three starting pitchers. They got a reliever and they ended up picking up Tyrone Taylor as an outfielder as well. That offense is so good, and they've had so many pitchers on the injured list all year. I mean, the pitching staff has been cursed. They went out and they got what they needed. They did it. They had a great deadline. Meanwhile, Milwaukee, who by the way is in first place in the NL East, they entered the deadline season sort of as the Dodgers' biggest contender. Jacob Mizorowski is having a great season. They're a very good team, and I expected them to learn from the lessons of last year where they took, I don't want to say half measures. They brought in players, but it's not players that are really going to move the needle. And this year, like, is Dustin May a good pitcher? Sure. He's a good pitcher. Jojo Romero is a good reliever. Antonio Senzatella is having a renaissance year in Colorado. Those are good additions, I guess. But they're just not seeing the urgency from the Brewers. And so last year they get swept in the NLCS by the Dodgers rather than go out and just like, if you're not going to go for it now, when are you going to do it? But is the goal to be in the playoffs each of the next 10 to 12 years and be sustainable? Sure. Let's not forget priority number one, go win a freaking World Series. And they didn't make any moves that just push the button for me. I don't know.
I'm right there with you. I see it the same way. There's certain teams a bit perplexing. Did they do enough? You got to fight fire with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers just do it better and bigger than everybody else right now. And that's why they're the prohibitive favorites now, not just to win the pennant, but to win the World Series again on the American League side, because you do have, as you mentioned, the Cubs and the Brewers still will be a challenge. We think Philadelphia and Atlanta could be very competitive. The American League, it just feels so much more wide open, Levi, after the trade deadline. Now, do you look at the Rays and say, not only their odds on to win the American League East, but they might be the best in the American League, period. Are you ready to get there with Tampa Bay?
I'm not. I kind of honestly see Tampa Bay in a similar way that I see Milwaukee. And listen, Freddie Peralta was a very good pitcher with the Brewers, having a very down year in with the Mets. And if anybody can fix him, it's the Rays. The Rays and the Brewers both do this very, very well, that their development is great. You see guys get to both of those teams all the time and just sort of turn a corner and figure something out. They've got a good system in place. So, yes, Freddie Peralta, great. Liam Hicks is good but limited. You know, he's got some pretty extreme splits. And then that's kind of it. And the Rays had three hitters that had very good first halves. They needed, I think, in my opinion, needed to add to the offense. They didn't do it. And again, this is a year where the Yankees have Aaron Judge on the injured list. Cody Bellinger's on the injured list. Giancarlo Stanton's on the injured list. And the Yankees are still a very strong contender. And those guys could be back and healthy by October. Is the goal to win the AL East, or is the goal to emerge victorious in the American League and go take on somebody, maybe the Dodgers, in the World Series? I don't think they did enough. And I think that the Red Sox, if you want to talk about a team that expressed some urgency, the Red Sox went on this great winning streak. I mean, they were dead in the water earlier this year, fired their manager, mm-hmm. went on a 15-game winning streak. They're starting to turn things around. And Craig Breslow, to his credit, saw an opportunity. And I think they overpaid for Adley Rutschman, to be quite honest, given his injury history. But they needed a catcher with some pop. He's still, even though he hasn't played as many games as a lot of catchers, he's still the fourth most valuable catcher by WAR, according to Fangraphs, this year. They went out and they made the move they needed to make. They pushed the gas pedal down, and I think that they really positioned themselves to be a bigger contender from this point moving forward.
I agree. Levi, if I gave you a team on the outside looking in right now, both in the American League and the National League, let me give you the Seattle Mariners. Let me give you the Pittsburgh Pirates. Who are you more bullish on to make their respective postseason brackets, Seattle or Pittsburgh?
Oh, man. You make the case for there's probably some recency bias because Pittsburgh went out and got five relief pitchers during deadline season this year. And one of them has now been designated for assignment, Ron Marinaccio. I think he was just a stopgap. Luke Weaver is a very good pickup for them in the bullpen. I'm so happy to see teams like the Pirates in the mix to be buyers at the deadline, say for the White Sox this year after all those years of misery. So mm-hmm. there's probably some recency bias when I want to say the Pirates. The problem is that, and listen, the Astros have been hot lately, and maybe this is the turning point. Maybe this is the inflection point for the season for that division. But the AL West has been so wretched this year. It has just been like those top three teams, the Rangers, Mariners, and Astros, just sort of going, oh, no, 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 excuse me. You should win the division this year. No, no, I insist you win the division this year. It's a bad division. And so all it's going to take is the Astros, that's another team that didn't express a whole lot of urgency this year. They needed starting pitching. Their rotation has been in shambles all year. And they went out and got nobody for the starting. And in fact, traded away Spencer Arrighetti to get Dalton Varsho. And Varsho is going to help their outfield, no doubt. He's not a big bat. He's a very good defender. But they didn't really do a whole lot to push their chips in either. And the Rangers did next to nothing at the deadline. So, you know, the Mariners picking up Taylor Ward, is that the move? you know, in this division, maybe so. So I don't know if I'm willing to give you one over the other. If you push me, I think the Pirates did more at the deadline. So there's that, but the Mariners do have a good rotation. And if that offense finds a way to click, you know, Cal Raleigh's having a miserable year compared to last year. Julio Rodriguez has not been quite to the level that we expect. A few of those guys start to put it together, and the Mariners are not a bad team on paper. They just have not done enough this year.
Yeah, it's a bit perplexing to watch that whole division and say who really is the best out of those three. And it might be by default right now, Houston. But as you mentioned, not enough of the trade deadline. Levi, I really appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the second half of the season here as we get down the stretch here in the next couple months. I guess we're going to have some chaos now that we've gotten those big moves made. Appreciate your time today, Levi.
All right. Take care, guys.
There he is, Levi Weaver. Check him out at The Athletic and Rangers beat writer as well. I know they're a bit perplexed down there, Jensen, as to what they did and did not do. Great stuff as always, my friend. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Talk more about the changing landscape in Major League Baseball. Continue our countdown as we get to Canton, Ohio on Thursday. But if you want more VEASAN right now, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, you can get more right now. VEASAN.com, the VEASAN Watch app. Dustin Swedelson back in with Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game. They're coming up next, and they are talking a lot of Major League Baseball. Joe Sheehan is going to be on the program as well, talking about his best bets on the docket today. That's all straight ahead right here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.